Hello and welcome to another depression-fueled episode of Dave Wright's podcast. I'm your host, Dave Wright. Each week here, I like to share one of my short stories and then the next episode of Soul, one chapter from an ongoing novel of mine. As usual, if you would like to know more about this week's story, then stick around at the end. For now, let's get into it. This week's episode is called The Frozen Statue. You don't remember when it actually happened. Time had long ceased being discrete measurement. The endless cycle of light and dark had lost all meaning. To begin with, the passing of people by you was enough to occupy your thoughts, the relationships both casual and assured taking place in front of you, but unable to touch. They built a narrative to this new existence. But you can remember what caused it, though. The crushing loneliness, the fading into the background of becoming a secondary character in your own life. It started subtly, as most things do. In real life, someone doesn't approach you proclaiming that you are the one, the chosen one, that you alone can save the world. No, you dig your own little rut in life and grind your way through trying to ascribe your own meaning as to why you get out of bed every morning. But you never found that. You're not sure you even searched. You finished school because that's what people did. You got a job as rent and food and bills, well, they don't wait just because you want them to. Your job is not who you are, but it has become the flavor of your life, infecting everything else with its demands. People say you'll not keep the friends you made in school as life moves on. This is true, but no one told you how much it would hurt. Your colleagues you dutifully hang out with on a Friday night, they're not your friends. Nor the barista you say hello to and inquire about their day. Life, they say, is what happens to you while you're making other plans. But what happens if you had no other plans? They never taught that in school. Your parents barely taught you how to be a functioning person, let alone be let loose into this wild unknown that is adulthood. Walking through the local park every day was a way to stretch your legs and stay in a semblance of what you somehow thought of as shape. More than not, though, you watched other people living their lives. You watched, wondering if they had these thoughts, and approached their existence with the same void you did. Until that day. You stopped and watched a couple share an intimate moment that made you feel like you're intruding on their happiness. Other people gave them a smile of shared memory, of recalling their own moments, and passed by, energized, as if they were inspired by what they saw. No one glanced at you. You could feel yourself slowly fading away, of becoming disconnected from reality. Then it happened. There was no bang, no explosion of sound and light depicting this change. That's not how your life worked. You just had enough of this moment, of this place. It was time to move on. Except you couldn't. You were rooted to the spot, leaning against the tree behind you, your face in a mask, with your eyes still able to see what was happening. You strained and tried to move anything. Your fingers, your mouth, your eyes. Nothing. The panic set in. This could not be happening. For so long you'd been moving through this life, and now for this to happen, this was insane. The panic gripped your heart. And it was then you realized that it too was not moving. The comforting thrum thrum beat was no longer there. The soft motion of inhalation, exhalation, which was part of being human, was gone. First few minutes when the panic hit, you still struggled to breathe, to make some sort of motion to convince yourself you were still alive. Nothing. The minutes ground into hours, and slowly the hours into days. You tried to get people's attention, but all they saw was a lifelike statue, a work of art that they argued over who had placed it there, who was the artist or who'd commissioned it. What was the reason for the unnamed statue of an unknown person? Some people would focus on your eyes and stare into them, remarking how lifelike they were, never guessing that you were behind them screaming to be let out. The days continued to grind into weeks, months, and you're not sure, but maybe even years. You used to think surely someone must have noticed your absence. But as you ran through the short list, who would care? Your job would be replaced. The barista might have a passing thought of you not showing up for your latte two sugars. Your landlord would be annoyed at having to re-lease your apartment. That was it, though. There'd be no loved ones desperately searching for you. The world moved on, uncaring. Finally, you brought your senses back into the present, no longer floating on the idleness of empty thought. You don't know what brought you back. The sun was setting, clouds had shifted in. The park was emptying of its usual groups, the late runners, the dog walkers. You'd be soon home to the kids sneaking out with alcohol and weed, thinking they were escaping their parents, when their parents had done the exact same thing. Good night, Holly. Same time tomorrow, then. The words drifted through your head. She had no idea where they came from. You tried to watch this time, you really did, as the day turned into night and the stars lit the sky, the moon peeking out past the scudding clouds above you. They threatened rain, but you knew they had no intention of carrying out their demands. You watched as the sun shyly slunk out from the hills and started to burn the clouds away. The early morning fitness people were out in force, and you watched them again, no longer with the hatred or jealousy you once did. The lunchtime office workers then arrived to escape the grey and silver wasteland of their jobs to this little corner of green and blue. One of them trundled through the grounds in a meandering gait towards you, their unironed clothes and rumpled appearance at odds with the tailored smoothness of the other office workers around them. They took out a book and a box lunch at your feet and sat down. Patting you on the leg, they pulled out a set of headphones and quietly said, "Hey Holly, glad today turned out nice." You tried to watch them as they sat at your feet, pecked at their food and consumed their book. You couldn't see what they were reading, but time seemed to slow down as you watched. You wanted to ask, what were they reading? You wanted to ask why they came to talk to a statue. You wanted them to know that your name's not Holly. Finally, they collected their belongings, removed their headphones and stood up. Looking you in the eyes, they said, "See you tonight, Hol. Watch my space, okay?" And left. That afternoon dragged by as it had not done since the beginning of your imprisonment, as you kept waiting for the day to turn into tonight, as they had said. You had not looked forward to something for so long, even before you were imprisoned. You spotted them as they approached, the same rumpled look, but even more weary. "Thanks. Hope your day was better than mine," they muttered as they sat down at your feet again and pulled out the same slightly tattered book as before. Watching as the evening started to advance in and the night began to make motions towards taking over duty from the day, the person at your feet read until you were sure it was not possible to see anymore. Standing up to look you in the eyes again, they repeated softly as the dog walkers were still around, "Night, Holly. Same time tomorrow, then," and walked off. Watching them leave, you felt something lurch inside you, like something had moved. It'd been so long, the idea itself terrified you. Who was this person? Why were they calling you Holly? The night came on and drowned the park in darkness, the sky completely hidden behind the clouds, which had decided to finally make good on their threats from before. Spending all night hoping for the rain to ease, to clear up in the chance that your visitor might return, the morning dawned clear and blue, the clouds all spent of their sullenness. You felt jittery and nervous as the fitness people went through their morning motions and the day dragged on. The office drones finally start to filter into the park, and you stared, hoping for a glimpse of your visitor. And there they were. Their suit the same as the day before, only having changed their shirt to another creased effort. They walked right up to you and started to arrange themselves before saying, "Hey, Hol, must have been a rough one last night. I was beginning to worry I wouldn't get out today with the rain." They looked around and continued, "Good to see it allowed me to get out of there again." And they sat down to read. The stirring from deep within you continued. You were not sure how you'd missed it before, but there was something there, a churning inside. You watched them with a yearning as they finished up their book and sighed. Standing before you again, they looked at you. "Huh. Good book, but the ending sucked. Yeah. Well, see you tonight, Holly." And they turned to leave. No, not again. You couldn't face this again. You had to do something. They couldn't leave. With a feeling of something breaking, you heard it. It was only because of the stiffening of their back, and the person in front turning around that you realized the voice had been yours.
My name is Allison.
That was The Frozen Statue. There were some very subtle clues in this one as to my mental state when I wrote it. Full marks if you picked up on them. Yeah, I wrote this piece around the same time I wrote Last Word, Episode 3. It has very similar themes of loneliness, of the relentlessness of life. It was during a very dark time of my life, and I remember the frustration of watching other people live their lives, not even succeeding or doing anything special, just living, and thinking to myself, why can't I do that? Why is it so painful to just exist? During my worst times with depression, I've never thought about suicide. I think I'm too pragmatic for that. But the themes here of the relentlessness of life is one feeling I get overwhelmingly, of wanting the world to go away. I don't want to die, I only want to stop existing, to have time to catch up on life. I now know that this feeling is false, that no matter how much time you have, if the underlying problems are not addressed, you will always feel one step behind the rest of the world. The themes are on full display here. As for the characters, a strange thing happened while I was writing it. Of course, the statue was me. I was the self-insert of being trapped in one spot, of existing but not really living. This was not a choice. I was more writing as a way of trying to get some of the depression out of my head and onto the paper. Which is why it was so odd to me that halfway through the statue was referred to as Holly, a female, while the new character had some of my traits but was their own creation. I wrote this in one sitting, so I had not planned it or even thought about it, so I'm not really sure what happened there. I liked the new character as well. Another odd point that I noticed when I came to edit was I have a vague image in my head of what they look like, either a willowy man or a tomboyish woman, quite androgynous. I wanted to flesh them out some more and get a more clear picture of who they were, so as I was editing, I paid close attention. Not once do I refer to them as he or she, so even now I don't have a clearer idea of them. This is another piece that I feel said what I needed to. It was definitely a product of my headspace at the time. I'm proud of how it turned out, however, I don't feel the need to revisit or expand it at all. The breaking of the statue was the cathartic point. The reaching out to another human was important, not what comes after. That I leave up to the reader. Well, that's all for this week. If you have any questions or comments, please reach out to me. Don't forget, I have a Patreon up if you want to throw some support my way. You can find the details on my website, davewrights.com. That's Dave, WRIGHTS.com. Hopefully I'll see you all next week. Take care.